Galatians chapter 5. Turn there. I'll have you turn a couple places this morning. I have been dealing with who did hinder. This is the 10th message. For some, probably you thought it was about 50, but it's not but 10. Of course, 10 is a pretty good bit. But it was on my heart to deal with the fact that there's someone involved with our lives. There's someone trying to hinder. Paul is writing to the Galatians. He's writing to young believers. They have gotten saved. They've gotten saved out of the law system that says do this, don't do that, and rightfully so. But that do this, don't, and don't do that could not save and could not forgive. And they accepted Christ and got saved, and then the Judaizers came in and said, well, now that Jesus is okay, and being saved is okay, and grace is okay, but you still have to keep the law. You still have to keep those do's and don'ts. And Paul says to these people who now are confused about the matter, beginning in verse 7, you did run well. You were doing so good. Who did hinder you? I've said it before. That word hinder means to set back. It not only means to restrict or to slow down or to cause to sort of slack off a little bit. It has the idea of driving back. In other words, they've made some progress, but they have been driven back. And notice what he says. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And here's what's on my heart. This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. In other words, Paul said this did not come from God. His implication is this, there's someone else involved with this situation other than just you and the Judaizers. There's someone involved, and that person that's involved is the devil. The devil is using people to influence these believers. I've mentioned from that several things. The devil's desire, what he wants to do. The devil wants to send you to hell, number one. He's going there and he wants to take as many people with him as he can. And if you allow it to happen, he'll influence you and suggest to you and whisper to you and draw you straight along with him into hell. Don't let that happen. But even after a person gets saved, the devil has a desire to hinder and to restrict and to harm. The devil's desire, but also the devil's devices. He has a lot of tools, a lot of weapons that he uses. I've covered that quite extensively, and still he surely hadn't exhausted that subject. But also a deal with the devil's delusion. Somehow I believe he thinks, somehow I can pull this out. I think I can still win. He attacks every day with that thought in mind. But then also the devil's disappointment. I said last time, I sure do love it when the devil gets disappointed. I love it when he says, boy, I thought I had Rick that time. I thought I had him tripped up. But sometimes I trust the Lord and overcome the devil, and I want to see him disappointed more. But I want to try to deal with a couple of little thoughts this morning. Mention number four, the devil's destiny. Now, we may seem like we're getting here a little early, but I want us to find out now where he's going. The devil's destiny, you don't have to turn. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I want to mention this now to make us realize the devil really is defeated. His destiny is the lake of fire. He is going there one day. His destiny is sealed. It's secure. As sure as there's a God in heaven, there will be a day when he casts that devil into the lake of fire. And he's taken those who do not believe with him. Now that little thought makes us go to this point. What until then? I know he's going to the lake of fire. I know his destiny is sealed. I know he is a defeated foe, but it sure doesn't seem like he's too defeated in my life all the time. So I deal with this thought, the devil's defeat. He is defeated, but he's still fighting me. His end is secure, but right now he's got a long leash. Right now, he's able to walk this earth and find those that he can devour. The devil's defeat, it says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" It says in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." It reaffirms what I've just said. He is defeated. He is headed to the lake of fire. But he's still alive now. And he's still fighting now. And I ask this question: how can we win? How can we win the battle? You are in a battle just like the Galatians, against a real enemy called the devil, called Satan. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose that battle. I ask us this question. I'll answer a little bit of it this morning. How can I win? How can we defeat Satan? Now, turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7 and find how we can defeat the devil. How the devil can be defeated in our lives. When he attacks, we don't have to give in. When we're in the battle, we don't have to lose. We can win by the grace and the help of God. And he tells us how to do it. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this: "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I like that last part of that verse. He will flee from you. Wouldn't you like to send the devil running? Wouldn't you like for him to scurry off from your life defeated? Well, this verse tells us how. We've read it, we've thought about it, we've preached it, we've studied it, we've taught it so much, but I believe we miss so much of it. Notice what it says: "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee." What does that verse say? First it says, if I am going to win over the enemy, if I'm not going to allow him to hinder my life, I must first learn how to submit to God. That word submit means to line up under. It literally means to give our all to him. It is as though we're reporting for duty. He is the boss. He is God. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is my Father. He is my friend. And submitting to him means we give ourselves to him. Listen to me. The first step in defeating Satan. You see, we got an enemy. We've got an enemy that opposes us. We got an enemy that hates us. And he is constantly, 100% of the time, attacking you and attacking me. I don't know how he's battling you this morning, but I promise you, he's at work in your life. And what we want to try to do is defeat him. But God says there's someone else involved with your life. It's not only the devil over there trying to fight you and trying to hinder you, but there's someone else involved with your life, and that's God himself. The Lord wants to help us. The Lord loves us. The devil hates us. God wants to do good for us. The devil wants to do bad for us. So we have two opposing sides at work in our life all day long, every day of our life. And God said, listen to me, before you can ever defeat him, before you can ever defeat the devil, you must learn how to submit yourself to God. The first step, listen to me, is not trying to oppose him, try to fight him, try to resist him, try to not listen to him, try to defeat him, try to overcome him. Our first step in defeating him is getting close to him. submitting to Him. The first step is submit yourself to the Lord God, your Father, if you're saved. And it means to line up under, to submit, to give in to. You see, Jesus, hey, before we can defeat Him, the devil, we must submit to Him, the Lord. Well, what does that mean? What does submit mean? It literally means to join to get up under, to yield our all to. You see, Jesus said this. In fact, turn with me, John 15. I want you to look at this. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I'm talking this morning about that person that tries to hinder us and how we defeat him. God said the first step in defeating the devil is getting right with me, submitting to me. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Listen to me. He that abideth in me, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Here's what Jesus said. I'm asking you this. How do I submit to God? How do I yield myself to Him? Jesus said it's like this. We abide in Him like a branch abides in a vine. This is not talking about salvation here. It's talking about fellowship and it's talking about service. And Jesus said the way you get close to me, the way you yield to me is realize you're like a vine and you're like a branch. Now this is a very insignificant illustration, but you'll get the point. He said, you're like a branch. And the only way this branch will ever bring forth fruit is to abide in the vine. The power comes not from the branch, but from the vine. The sap comes not from the branch, but from the vine. The life comes not from the branch, but from the vine. Everything this branch needs comes from the vine. Without the vine, you know what this branch is? It's a stick. It's a dead stick. Jesus said, I'm talking about, hey, I'll never defeat the devil if I don't first submit to God. Well, how am I going to submit to God? Jesus said, it's like a branch abiding in the vine. Living in the vine, staying in the vine. Could I mention first, fellowship is critical. If this branch doesn't abide, stick to, connect to the vine, there is no life, there is no hope. The only hope this branch has, again, is the vine. And the word that Jesus used is abideth. It literally means to remain connected. It means to stay connected. I'll say it again. This vine has the power to help the branch. But the branch's only hope is to stay connected to that vine. I ask you this morning, how close are you to Him? Jesus said, the Lord said, the Bible said, before I can ever even address the devil, before I can even think about confronting him, I must first submit myself to the Lord. How am I going to do that? Abide in him. I got a question. Are you abiding in him? Are you submitted to him? Are you connected to him? I got a question. Is your life really connected to Jesus? When you read the Bible, if you read the Bible, do you read it like a textbook, like you're in the classroom? Or do you open that Bible and say, God, speak to me. I need you today. I need your help today. I need your direction today. I need enlightenment from you. I need help from you. I need power from you. I must have you or I'm a goner. Is your life connected to Jesus? Or do you spend your life on your own? How close are you to Him? Hey, when you pray, do you really pray? Or do you just spit out words? I need to back up and ask you this. Do you pray? Do you have a regular prayer life, prayer time in your life? If you don't, you are not abiding in Him. Abiding in Him talks about fellowship. Abiding in Him talks about a connection, connected to Him on a personal level, a close level, a personal connection to Him. When you pray, do you talk to Him? Or do you just let words just kind of flow into the air? Is it just you talking to yourself, or do you literally connect with Him? Do you talk to Him as though He's there, that He's listening, that He's God, that He's concerned, that He's helping and hurting with you when you're hurting? Are you abiding in Him? Jesus said, before you can ever confront the devil, you got to learn how to submit to Me. And you submit to Me by abiding in Me. Hey, that is critical. It is necessary. It is needed. I'll never defeat the devil if I don't learn how to stay close to God. What about church? What was your attitude on the way to church this morning? Did you come because of Sunday morning? Have you even thought about why you're here? Have you been attentive today? Have your ears been open? Has your heart been open? Have you come to worship? Did you come to hear from God? Have you hung on to the words of every song? Have you hung on to the words of every person you've heard teach or say something? Did you come with your heart open? Are you abiding in Him? God made church to help His people. God gave us a place to come and worship Him, abide in Him, connect to Him, communicate with Him. And so many times we come and we sit and we listen half-heartedly and we go home unchanged because we were not really connected. We did not get hooked up. I want to tell you, we're being defeated. There ain't no wonder the devil's defeating us. We can't even get right about submitting to God. He said, you must abide in Me. If you're to get help from Me, you must learn how to abide in Me. What about your daily life? What do you think about? What music do you listen to? What recreation do you have? Listen, I'm not against living life. We're in the world. We're in bodies. Live life. But our focus ought to be on Him. Throughout the day, meditating on Him. Laying down at night and meditating on Him. Throughout the day, conversing with Him. I'm talking about being connected. He said, you must abide in Me. Like a branch of vines in the vine, you must abide in Me. Listen, fellowship is crucial. It is critical. But then notice what He said. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He abideth in Me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. He said, if this branch does what it's supposed to do, it will bring forth fruit. He didn't say maybe, possibly, could be, might be. He said, it will bring forth fruit. Now my question is this, what does this branch have to do to bring forth fruit? One thing, abide in the branch. I have mentioned first, fellowship is critical. This branch must stay close to the vine, connected to the vine, drawing from the vine. I mentioned too, not only fellowship is critical, but listen, fruit is certain. If this branch will stay connected to this vine, fruit is not probably, but surely going to come forth. It is certain. He said He will bear forth fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, Galatians 5 tells us you don't have to turn. but the fruit of the Spirit. You know what fruit is? It is the result of this branch abiding in the vine. Fruit is, listen, something produced. Something brought forth through the branch. The branch doesn't really bear the fruit, not legitimately. The vine brings forth the sap that bears the fruit. The fruit that the Bible talks about for the believer is this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I don't know about you, but I want it all and need it all. I need that fruit in my life. I'm talking about, listen, before I can ever address the fact of my enemy attacking me, I must first submit to him. He said, submit to the Lord, then resist the devil. And fruit in my life, fruit in your life, means we submitted to him. We're abiding in him. Listen to me. Here it is again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That is the characteristics of a person abiding in him. That means that these characteristics are not actively produced in our lives. We are not abiding in him. I'm talking about fellowship this morning, not talking about salvation. This is for the believer. He said, if you abide in me, you will bring forth much fruit. And the fruit is joy, listen, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said these things will be produced in you. If you learn how to submit to me, these things will be produced in you. If you learn how to abide in me. A lot of us are, we're all for getting the blessings from God and the promotions from God, good things from God. But he said we ought to desire the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. He said we ought to desire those things that come from him. His fullness. We think about the fullness of God. And we think about God doing great things and moving. And that's okay, because that's a part of it. But just as much a part of the fullness of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace. That fruit he talked about. That's as much a part. And most of us really don't want to pay the price to let that fruit be born through us. You see, we got to die out to self, to abide in him, to where the fruit will be produced automatically through us. I have mentioned, number one, fellowship is critical. I have mentioned, number two, fruit is certain. Then notice last part of the verse, of chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Here's what he's saying. To those who like a branch that abides in the vine, that stay connected to me and close to me and yielded to me, I promise that person that there'll be fruit produced through me, through them in their life. I promise that. Fruit is certain. But he also said, he also warned, without me, ye can do nothing. And he meant what he said. He wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't mistaken. He wasn't wrong. I want to ask you a question. Look here. The vine and the branch. It's not nearly as hard for us, I promise you. Now I want to ask you a question. I just cut that branch off this vine. What hope does that branch have now in bearing fruit? You're exactly right. And isn't that exactly what he said? Without me, ye can do nothing. If you look at that Greek word, it means no, nothing at all. That means nothing. You can't do anything without him. I have mentioned, listen to me, I have mentioned a lot of things this morning. I have tried to magnify to get our point right. Fellowship is critical. You got to abide with him. And I've also tried to magnify fruit is certain. As long as you abide in him, fruit is going to be a guaranteed thing. But listen, I want to mention lastly, failure is common. When this branch is not connected to this vine, there's one thing, failure. Now this branch without the vine can say, I'm going to try to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. I want fruit to be a part of my life. I'm going to bear fruit, and it'll try, and it'll make all the effort it can, and it'll do the best it can, and it'll say, I'm going to bear fruit, and it'll fail because it's not connected to the vine that provides the power to bear fruit. Now, I want to tell you something. If we're not abiding in him, we will fail. Remember the fruit? Here's what we try to do. Boy, I'm going to love people. I'm going to love God. I'm going to make myself love God. I'm going to read the Bible and pray and make myself do all those things. I'm going to make myself love people. I'm going to make myself love God. And for a day or two, it seems like things are working. Then all of a sudden, we find ourselves back in the same old boat. Same old shape, same old condition, failing. We say, I'm going to give myself peace. I need peace. I'm going to make myself have peace. I'm going to read all those verses that talk about peace. I'm going to talk about all those quotes that talk about peace. I'm going to think about the good things. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace. But we fail. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to get mad when people do me wrong. I'm not going to get upset at circumstances. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to make myself. And we fail again. We try and we fail and we try and we fail and we try and we fail because we're not abiding in him. And remember, he said, before you ever resist the Lord, resist the devil, before you ever even consider your enemy, you got to learn how to submit to your Lord. You got to learn how to abide in him. You know what? God lets us fail. He lets us fail on purpose, hoping to teach us you can't do it without Jesus. You can't do it on your own. You are as helpless without Jesus' help in your life as this branch is without the vine. It is dead. It is empty. It is useless. It is set for failure. And so are we without us abiding in him, without submitting to him, without yielding to him, without our lives being completely in his hands every day of our life 24/7. Abiding in him, submitting to him. We're in a battle. The devil's opposing us, and we need to do battle with him. We'll get there maybe. But before I can ever do battle with the devil, before I can ever even think about confronting him, I must learn how to submit to him. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. Most of us hadn't learned how to submit yet. But until you get tired of trying and failing, making a mess, making a blunder, finding yourself defeated again, seeing yourself as you are again, until you get tired of it, sick of it, fed up with it, absolutely defeated because of it, until you get there, you probably won't be willing to do what it takes to submit to Him. And most people, you listen to me, most believers never get to even that point. Most are satisfied with struggling on, failing, doing a little bit better, trying a little harder, failing, trying a little bit more, praying again, confessing again, repenting again, crying again, but never getting to the point to where I am sick of it, I am sick of it, I am sick of it, I'm tired of failing, I'm tired of me, I'm tired of this mess, I'm tired of the deadness, I'm tired of the dryness, I'm tired of the lack of power, I'm tired of the devil defeating me, I am sick of it, I will do whatever God says. You know what you just did? Submitted. That's called abiding in Him. And probably till you get that point, till that point of desperation, you'll never be willing to do what it takes to submit to Him. And listen, until I've learned to submit to Him, I can't even consider the fact of the enemy. I haven't even got through step one. I sure can't get to step two yet. Failure is common. It's a common thing for us to fail because we're flesh. It's a common thing to fail because we think we can do it ourselves. Could I ask you a question? Could I ask you to do me a favor? More important, do yourself a favor. Will you admit to yourself and to the Lord this morning your weakness? That you're like a branch without a vine trying to do right. Will you stop excusing yourself? We all say, well, it's just the way I am. And so that makes it okay, but it doesn't make it okay. Jesus wants to produce through Himself into us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those fruits, all that fruit that is mentioned in Galatians. He wants that produced in your life, but it'll never happen. His power through us. The God of heaven abides in you if you're saved. Almighty God that spoke the universe into existence abides in you if you're saved. Here's what the Bible says about His power. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God lives in us. But we'll be like a dead stick unless we connect to Him, connect to that power. I ask you this morning, are you tired of the devil defeating you? Or are you tired of losing? Are you tired of being defeated? Well, I'm glad, I hope, that we've all come to that point. But before we can ever address the devil, even consider his existence, we've got to learn how to submit and walk with Him and fellowship with Him and connect to Him. Let Him live through us and live in us. And get our power from Him and our strength from Him and the love that we need to love people and love Him and the peace that we need and the power that we need and the long-suffering that we need. We need to abide in Him. I want to ask you, are you willing to take that step toward Him this morning and say, Lord, I give you myself. I want a real connection. It makes so much difference. When you look in this book and say, God, this is You speaking. Oh, what a wonderful thought. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You for showing me that. When you pray, really talk to Him. Don't just spit out words. Don't just unload your thoughts. Communicate. Talk to them. When you come to church, come to church. When you meditate through the day, think on Him. Stay connected to Him. And He said, when you learn to do that, you've taken the first step in defeating the enemy. Let's stand together. I want to say to all of us here, the answer is Jesus. He's the vine. He's the source of life. He's the source of power. For those who are lost this morning, He's the source of your forgiveness. The only way to heaven, the only way to make it sure that when you leave this world, you go to heaven, is Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary. For some this morning, that's the message you need. And I want to say Jesus Christ loves you and He wants to save you. If you'll come to Him, turning your life over to Him, asking Him to forgive you, being honest with Him and say, I'm a sinner and I want You to forgive me. I believe You died for me on a cross and rose again. I accept that. I've come to You this morning. I need forgiveness. I don't want to go to hell. If you'll do that, if He's speaking to you, you know what He'll do? He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. If He's speaking to you and you do what He said, come to me, He says, I'll forgive you. And us that are saved, listen, aren't you tired of the devil beating you around? Victory starts by submitting to the Lord. Your walk with Him, are you abiding in Him? Will you come this morning and begin that step toward Him and say, Lord, help me to abide. Help me to stay connected. Help it to be personal for me. Father, please speak to hearts.